And everybody already knows our Lindy. I hear nothing except good things when she shares her thoughts. I hear them come out of her, and then I hear them come out of everybody else telling me how good she did. I'm getting tired of that. No, our Lindy's absolutely wonderful, and I look forward to her thoughts, and this is our Lindy.
Usually I like to sit in the back and get more applause, but you guys stop early anyway, so. Heck with it. I'm humbled. It's okay. How many of you here were here last week? A goodly number of you. Then you remember that Connie Ferris talked to us about relationships. And tonight I want to give relationships part two, I guess you could say. Lindy's spin on relationships. And I want to start with Red Skelton's recipes for the perfect marriage. How many of you have ever heard of Red Skelton? Yeah, all right. Good. Two times a week we go to a nice restaurant, have a little beverage, good food, and companionship. She goes on Tuesdays, I go on Fridays. We sleep in separate beds. Hers is in California, mine is in Texas. I take my wife everywhere, but she keeps finding her way back. And he goes on and on. She got a mud pack and looked great for 2 days. Then the mud fell off. Remember, marriage is the number one cause of divorce. Marriage. I married Miss Wright. I just didn't know her first name was Always. The last fight was my fault, though, he says. My wife asked, what's on the TV? I said, duh! We always hold hands. If I let go, she shops. Red Skelton, one of the funnier people in the world. Relationships are really about heart-to-heart connections. Without love, relationships can be contentious, tempestuous, and over, usually. But what do we mean when we talk about love? I know God is love, says that in the Bible. Millie quotes that all the time. We are all bubbles of God, so we are all part of love. It was an interesting experiment when a group of professionals posed this question to a group of 4 to 8-year-olds. What does love mean? Love is that feeling you feel before all the bad stuff gets in the way. When someone loves you, the way they say your name is different. You know that your name is safe in their mouth. Some of these are pretty profound. Love is when a girl puts on perfume and a boy puts on shaving cologne and they go out and smell each other. Love is what makes you smile when you're tired. Love is when my mommy makes coffee for my daddy and she takes a sip before giving it to him to make sure the taste is okay. Yeah. Remember, 4 to 8-year-olds, love is when you kiss all the time. Then when you get tired of kissing, you still want to be together and you talk more. My mommy and daddy are like that. They look gross when they kiss. And here's a good one. Love is what's in the room with you at Christmas. If you stop opening presents and listen. Love is when you tell a guy you like his shirt, then he wears it every day. Oh, love is when mommy sees daddy smelly and sweaty and still says he's handsomer than Robert Redford. Obviously, this was a study a few years ago. Love is when your puppy licks your face even after you left him alone all day. And last of this particular set of quotations, you really shouldn't say I love you unless you mean it. But if you mean it, you should say it a lot. People forget. So love is a lot of different things to a lot of different people. But one of the things that came to my mind was that I've picked up a lot of stories on the internet, mostly. And there are ways to look at love that fall in alignment with the thing that we say in class every week, if we were in class every week. Watch our thoughts, watch our words, and watch our actions. And thoughts are things that can adversely or positively affect relationships. There's a story about a young boy who said, Daddy, why is it that people hurt me with their words, even though it says sticks and stones can hurt my bones, but words will never hurt me? Why do the words hurt? And the daddy said to the son, if you took a hammer and a bunch of nails and hammered the nails into the board, they would change the way the board was. Even if you pulled out all the nails, the board would be forever changed. You could put plastic wood in the holes where the nails were and paint over them, but the wood would be forever changed. And words are like that, the dad said to the son. Words can hurt because their speaking of them forever changes the relationship, for good or for evil, or for negativity, I guess. I have a friend who I had quite a great deal of interaction with, and I'm a very fair person. This is a part of who I am. I look at both sides of an issue. And she once said to me, Lindy, I don't want you to look at both sides of the issue. I want you to be on my side. I want you to be on my team. I want you to just agree with me and not say anything about what the other guy was thinking. And while I appreciated her point, it hurt me because fair is who I am. And I felt like, well, if she really wanted somebody to be on her team, she shouldn't pick somebody who's fair. So I was hurt, and our relationship was forever changed. Now, some scientific types will tell you that sharing intimacies of what you really want and how you really feel makes the relationship stronger. There's potential truth in that, but there's also potential for disaster in that. Because if we say things that are hurtful in the spirit of honesty in relationships, then the relationship is not strengthened. There are three things to remember before you say something in a relationship. Is it true? Is it necessary? And is it kind? And if it's not three out of three, we better keep our mouth shut. Because words can hurt. Like the nails that have been pulled out of the wood, the relationship is forever changed. Watch your thoughts. Watch your words. And watch your actions. All three of those apply to all the stories that I have to tell tonight. The second story is about sand and stone. I got this from two different places, but the most meaningful place I got it was from my brother, of all people. My brother doesn't send me emails at work, much less stories that internet sends around the world. Sand and stone goes like this. Two friends were walking through the desert. During some point of the journey, they had an argument, and one friend slapped the other in the face. And the one who got slapped was hurt. But without saying anything, he wrote in the sand, "Today my best friend slapped me in the face." And they kept on walking until they found an oasis, and they decided to take a bath. The one who had been slapped got stuck in the mire and started drowning. But his friend saved him. After he recovered from the near drowning, he wrote on a stone, "Today my best friend saved my life." The friend who had slapped and saved his best friend asked him, "After I hurt you, you wrote in the sand, and now you write on a stone. Why is that?" And the friend replied, "When someone hurts us, we should write it down in sand, where winds of forgiveness can erase it away. But when someone saves our life or does something good for us, we should write it in stone where no wind can ever erase it." How many times have we had a chance to write things in sand, and we chose to write them in stone. And the relationship was not only forever changed, but damaged beyond repair. Or how many times have we chosen to write things in sand and had an opportunity to grow and learn from it, and had a relationship deepened by the forgiveness that we brought to each other? Learn to write our hurts in the sand and to write our benefits in stone is a wonderful way to practice relationship art. And I was so moved when my brother sent this to me, because one of the most memorable experiences of my recent years was when my brother and I got into a huge fight on the telephone. It was before the current war in Iraq started, and we fought about whether it should begin or not. And it doesn't matter who was on which side. Suffice it to say that it was heated, it was intense, and it was painful for both of us. But at the end of the conversation, without any prompting from me, and much to my shock and surprise, actually, he said, "Whatever our views are about the war, you're still my sister, and I love you." And that meant so much to me, it still does, that he could see beyond our differences of political opinion and cut right to the heart of the relationship issue, that our love for each other was greater than our views about the war, pro or con. And if we watch our thoughts and watch our words and watch our actions, we realize that relationship is more important than opinion. A difference of opinion should not be enough to damage a relationship. But we have to be smart enough to say, wait a minute, we have to agree to disagree. Not, you're wrong and you're always going to be wrong and I'm always going to be right. Now, the fact that I am always going to be right is not relevant to the conversation, I guess. Well, it could be, but anyway, my brother, at that point in time, knew more about relationships than I did, because it never occurred to me to reach out to him in that fashion. And so when he reached out to me, I was both moved and humbled. See, I am humble. The third story is from Donna that sings in the choir. She sent it to me with the direction to share it, because I was the only email address she had from the church. So rather than sharing it via email, I thought I'd share it tonight. And it's about a young, successful executive who was driving through a neighborhood street, going a little too fast in his new Jaguar. And he was watching for kids, but he didn't see any. And when he thought he saw something, he slowed down. And at that moment, a brick smashed into his side door. He slammed on the brakes and backed up to find a small boy along the side of the street. And the boy had obviously thrown the brick. The driver was furious, and he jumped out of the car, grabbed the boy, and pushed him up against the parked car, shouting, "What was that all about? Who are you, and why did you throw a brick? That's a brand new car, and it's going to cost a lot of money. Why did you do it?" And the young boy was apologetic, "Please, mister, please, I'm sorry, but I didn't know what else to do. I threw the brick because no one else would stop." With tears dripping off of his chin, the youth pointed to a spot just behind the parked car and said, "It's my brother. He rolled off the curb and fell out of his wheelchair, and I can't lift him up." Sobbing, the boy asked the stunned executive, "Would you please help me get him back into his wheelchair? He's hurt, and he's too heavy for me." Moved beyond words, the driver helped the handicapped child back into the wheelchair, took out a linen handkerchief, and dabbed at the fresh scrapes and cuts. But a quick look showed him that the boy was going to be all right. The grateful child said, "Thank you, and may God bless you." Too shook up for words, the man simply watched the boy push his wheelchair-bound brother down the sidewalk toward their home. The damage was very noticeable on the door of the Jaguar, but the man chose not to have it repaired. He left the dent there to remind him of this message. Don't go through life so fast that someone has to throw a brick at you to get your attention. God whispers in our ears and souls and speaks to our hearts. Sometimes we don't have time to listen. He has to throw a brick at us. It's our choice whether to listen or not. Relationships with other people are like that. Sometimes we choose not to listen to what the other person is saying to us non-verbally. Sometimes pain is in the other person's eyes, and we just ignore it because we're not hearing it. And then they have to scream or act out or do something horrific to get our attention, throw a brick at us. But if we listen and really listen with our hearts, then love can triumph over adversity. And we can hear that pain and react to it appropriately. So that's Donna's brick story shared with you. At the bottom of this particular email, it says, if God had a refrigerator, your picture would be on it. If he had a wallet, your photo would be in it. He sends you flowers every spring. He sends you a sunrise every morning. Face it, friend, God's crazy about you. We all have a relationship with God that allows him to throw bricks at us when we need to wake up, just as we have relationships with each other. And God is crazy about each and every one of us. So if we open ourselves up to that relationship, then we've found the true meaning of love. One more story. The wonderful thing about speaking here at the forum is that I can't see the clock. So I just go on and on and on until I'm done. Until Millie hooks a hook around my neck and jerks me off the platform. Okay, this one came from another friend. There's a field with two horses in it. They look alike, but if you stop your car and get closer to them, you'll notice one of the horses is